This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Actually, it's going to be a beautiful day today. Just stay inside. We have a really great show for you. We have Mr. David Puckett, who has been a friend of mine as long as I can remember. And we have worked a lot of cases and a lot of things on the road, seen some unusual things. And the first part of David's show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. And they're located at 315 Hickerson Drive. And that's here in Murfreesboro. You can reach them at 1-615-396-8776 or pull them up on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. In fact, we're talking about photos, David. You were showing me your big album of things that used to happen at the sheriff's office when we first got started.
That's correct, Truman. You started in 1972 and I started in 1973.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
Is that 40 years?
Almost.
Oh my goodness. Actually, it's more than 40 for one of us, and you're almost 40.
Right around the corner.
And I never will forget when you came in. If anybody knows David, he's kind of short. He's 6'6" And you know, David, when you first started and we got to be friends, at MTSU they were nice enough to let us go over and run on the indoor track, and Coach Hayes let us do it. And I never will forget the insults that I would have thrown at me, because every time we would go around a circle, they would holler, "Well, there goes Mutt and Jeff again."
Well, you can't help that you're low down, Truman.
Always been low down, David.
To me, you have.
Now, how was it? I know when I first started, law enforcement was a brand new game for me. When you got started, and we had all these ideas of excitement and all the things that go on with law enforcement, but it's really not the way it looks on television, is it?
Oh, no, not at all.
And we weren't trained. It was everything was OJT, and we all remember our first officers that we rode with. And it was kind of the unique thing, of course, as compared to today, not only the training, but the area that you had to cover was something like 621 square miles per car, because a lot of times we were the only one out.
And when I started, we only had like 16 employees at the whole sheriff's department. That's counting dispatchers and the cook.
And, of course, we were patrol officers, but we were also dispatchers, and we were jailers, and we swept the place out when it needed sweeping.
And fed the prisoners. We did everything.
Now, you know, we've met some of the greatest people and the greatest characters in the world right there at the sheriff's office, the people that we worked with, the people who would drop in and see us, because we were on 400 West Main Street, which was, to me, the center of Murfreesboro at the time, because that's where everybody would come.
It was. It was small-town Murfreesboro then.
It was.
It's not like it is today.
Now, if you want to know what was going on in the entire community, and we're talking about the entire county, you would come there, because everybody wanted to find out what was going on, because as the officers would be in their patrols going around, they would stop at the country stores, they would stop and see some of the farmers that were out in the community. And it was just special, and it was so nice that when you go in those country stores, everybody wanted to see you. They wanted to know what was going on, and then they would relate back to you everything that was going on in their community.
You kept in touch with what was going on.
Yeah. Can you remember some of the special stores that we would go into, and some of the great stories.
My favorite, and I'm sure it was your favorite, was the Melody Bar in downtown Eagleville.
Now, that was a great place to go.
That was a great place to go. And remember, I don't remember his real name, but he went by Popsicle.
Yes.
You remember
his
Popsicle?
His last name was Bennett, yes.
And he was a
baton, I think that's right. Yeah.
Death March survivor.
Yes, he was.
And he was very interesting to talk to.
Yeah, he was nervous, as a lot of people were that had been in that death march, because the people that I have known, and it's surprising how many I've known that were here in Murfreesboro at one time or another, they would tell me that there was not a night that went by that they did not have nightmares of that particular event. And we're talking about 60 years plus.
That's right. I can only imagine.
But we not only had that. Do you remember Windrow Store? We would stop by there quite often.
Right there in downtown Rockvale, where half of the property was on the highway.
Yes. Well, actually, it was.
If you filled up for gas, your car was in the highway.
If you were going on an emergency traffic run, you knew to slow down when you got almost to the store itself, or you're going to run right into it.
I never knew you ever slowed down for anything, Truman.
We did have a few runs, especially on Salem Pike, and you remember how bumpy it was.
The roller coaster.
Yeah, it was.
You had those seven little humps.
Yeah. And you'd leave one and land on top of the other.
You'd be right there on the next one.
And
if I remember right, you used to sing a song. Do you remember that song you used to sing? Made a movie out of it.
Oh, yeah. It was
Thunder Road.
People are really going to turn their nose up at us. I can tell you that right now. But it was one of those things that we didn't have a whole lot of people to talk to or do. We were busy. But we're out there all by ourselves a lot of times.
For the whole county.
Oh, yeah.
Now, but how many people lived in the county in 1973?
What was it, maybe 60,000, something like that?
60,000 or less.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, actually, it could have been 50,000. But there, all the roads would, there's hardly any traffic on those roads at night. And unfortunately, a lot of times, we would get into chases that involved probably a felon that had occurred, and we were trying to catch them without anybody being able to cut them off, no backup or anything like that. So it made it a whole lot more exciting at the time.
When we were on our own, we were on our own.
Yes, we were. Now, Ms. Windrow, she was a character. And like all the other stores, if we had a warrant on somebody or we're looking to make an arrest, that's the first place we would go, because Ms. Windrow knew what was going on in the Rockvale community. And, of course, we had Ernest Carlton, who was our officer in Eagleville. He worked part-time.
Car 54.
Yeah. I still miss him.
I do, too. He'd always say, Car 54 be out at the Melody Bar. Yeah. We knew exactly where he was.
It was so funny. If you had an accident or something that you needed to go work, and maybe we were all tied up, and it was hard to get a hold of Ernest at that time because, you know, for some reason, miraculously, they would have a puddle in the middle of the road that he would drive through, and it knocked the radio out.
Sometimes his radio just didn't work, Truman.
But I tell you what, if you really needed him, he was there.
He was there for you.
And he knew everything, knew everybody respected him in Eagleville. But we would stop and eat at those restaurants, because back then they would have sandwiches and all kinds of treats that you could eat, and they could even bring out their skillet or whatever and make your lunch for you or your supper. And speaking of supper, there weren't many places to go when you and I were in the early 70s.
Not on the evening shift.
Right.
There wasn't that many places to eat.
Right.
What kind of restaurants did we have in Smyrna in the 70s? Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, we had the TC's Truck Stop. It was on the main drag. And then we went over to the marina.
Fate Sanders
Boat Dock. And, you know, the thing that sticks in my mind more as far as working that shift was that we were at the time when the bars were all open, And then we were there at the time when the bars all closed. And you know where they all migrated to.
TC's or Fate Sanders.
That's right. And do you remember a gentleman that would call us when his place would let out, and all his patrons would end up at TC's truck stop? And you remember Guadalupe?
Oh, yeah.
Saul DeVar. And he was one of the nicest guys. I mean, he was a lot of fun to work with. He ran the VFW, but he ran it tight. He kept the security tight. And it's one of those places that we were mandated, and rightly so, by Sheriff Goodwin at the time, to check out all those bars on Friday night and Saturday night. And it was amazing. Go ahead.
Do you remember the bar on Broad Street right where Thompson Lane is now?
Yeah. Talk about Buster's.
I can't remember what it was called then, but when you did a bar check there, when they had a live band, you remember what song they always go to?
I Shot the Sheriff.
Who Shot the Sheriff?
Yeah. But you know, it was a lot
was
of fun.
Bothering us, but I thought it was funny.
You could go from bar to bar all across the county. It didn't matter which community you were in. We knew the people that were going to be in that bar before we got in there. And most of them, they may be a little bit full of themselves at the time, but it was something that there was respect in the air for those people and the people that were in law enforcement, because they knew that when we came in there, we were just trying to do our job, make sure everything was the way it should be, and we were there to protect them just like everybody else.
That's right.
And I can remember every once in a while we'd get into a brawl in some of those bars. And you would have a number of people, which we were always outnumbered. I mean, we might be two against 15 or whatever.
20.
But the other people would come in and help us. And I never will forget that type of relationship. It built my respect for the people that we were out there trying to protect at the time.
And not only that, but a lot of those people that we'd have a scuffle with would come back the next day or so and apologize.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was not unusual. But there's so many. We had so many different things that people wouldn't even imagine, not only on the road, but inside the jail itself, because there were no jailers, per se, at the jail.
There was no jailers.
No. And we had to take care of that. And unfortunately, in the summertime, if you remember, we would have visitation.
Without air conditioning.
Without air conditioning.
Imagine how hot it was upstairs on a day like today.
It would probably be 115, 120 degrees in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the only thing that you had were those little roll-out windows, the little slats, that would let some of the air out back into the heat, whatever.
There's no ventilation.
No.
There's no...
But it was amazing, the visitation booths, where the families would actually have to come upstairs and visit, and they had two or three. I don't remember how many booths. Was it three or four?
Three.
Okay. And, of course, they were as hot or hotter than anything else. And I used to feel so sorry for those people that would come up and visit their loved one, because it was separated. We'd bring the prisoners out from where they were staying into the booth before we would put the other people in. And you would see them in there just sweating and pouring off. It was worse than being in a sauna at that time.
Without moving, the prisoners were just laying on the bunk, were just sweating like everybody. Just, I can't imagine being that hot all the time.
Do you remember when we were out and somebody was knocking all the mailboxes down off of Bradleville Pike? Do you remember that?
Truman, you got a better memory than me on that one.
Well, they were not. I lived on the Bradleville Pike at that time. I had a little farm, as you remember.
And your
somebody
farm
was knocking all the mailboxes down. Well, I happened to be on top of my house doing some roof work or whatever it was at the time.
Wait a minute. You were doing outside work on the house? I thought Jackie did all that. I thought you cleaned the house inside.
I got
and Jackie
stuck up
worked
there.
Outside.
I got stuck up there. And it was hot. And guess what happened? Somebody went by and whacked my mailbox. I mean, they really popped it. Well,
let me guess, you took that personal.
I did take it personal.
I don't blame you.
you and I got after the guys, we'll find out who they were, you and I got after them on Braville Pike and chased them. And actually, the odd thing about it, you never know what you're going to run into. The guy came out of the car after we stopped him and a couple other people were in the car and had a shotgun on us. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Uh-huh. And you remember us taking that shotgun away from him? Or either that or get shot.
Real quick.
But what are some of the things that you remember? We had so many, I guess, memories that will last forever. I mean, they were both good, and then we had some that I had not, I'd rather not run into, as you know. And when you first started, how did you feel as somebody? I think you were running a paper route at that time, if I remember right.
I had a paper route and saw Sheriff Goodwin. Of course, I was a military policeman in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little bit of
So you had no experience whatsoever before you came here.
I had more than you, because where were you working at the time? You were selling insurance, weren't you?
And I was working at the Greyhound bus station in Nashville, which I think I've always told people I had more fights right there at the corner of 6th and Commerce than I did the whole time I was in law enforcement. All right, go on. Tell me about it.
What do you want to know, Trevor?
How did you feel when you came out there and you first got in that car? You had had no experience.
Scared to death.
Yeah.
Because we actually had to train each other.
Uh-huh.
Because you didn't have any training.
And but we I was just a lot smarter than you, though.
I don't know about that. We might have to take a vote on that.
But did I ever let you, when I was training you, did I ever let you drive? I can't remember.
I don't think you did very often, Truman, because you wanted to. You had a certain speed you had to go.
Yeah.
And that was full throttle. You don't remember that, though, do
no,
you?
No, I don't. No.
But
I was a safe driver, though.
But I do remember this. You always kept losing your keys.
Yeah.
Can you explain why you always lost your keys?
We had people that had slippery fingers there at the office. I would lose my weapon every once in a while, too.
But, you know, when we started, they furnished a uniform.
Uh-huh.
We had to buy our own gun.
Yes, we did.
We had to buy our own holster, own belt, and I think they provided handcuffs for us. Mm. We were on our own. We had to do most of that ourselves. And we weren't required to go to the police academy for any training, mm-hmm. so we really just had to teach ourselves and try to do the best job we could.
And no firearms training, imagine that.
None at all.
In fact, I remember one or two weapons at the time that I don't think a bullet could travel through the weapon that they were carrying because it was so clogged up.
they forgot one basic training technique. Clean your weapons so that if you needed it, it would work.
Just think of it. We were, and Robert Goodwin, he knew how to hire people. He really does. And I'm not bragging on us. But he really knew, because if you look at the people that he hired and put them in situations that were very abnormal for the average individual, and you had to use your common sense and ability to work with things, it was extraordinary when you think about it. All the people like you and Steve Lane and Buddy and Junior and Cooney and
Mr. Jim,
all those people, they were successful in their own right. And you think about it, we had no security in our jobs. You had to run every
two years
for three straight times, and then you had to lay out a year. And, of course, during that particular period, you had a lot of sheriff's wives that became sheriff for 2 years, and then when he had a chance to, then he would run again.
Now, you're talking about our good friend Sheriff Fleming Williams over in Williamson County.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly what happened. After his 6 years was up, his wife ran, and she became Mrs. Sheriff.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, without any benefits at that time,
We were paid $500 a month.
Yeah, once a month.
When I started, we worked. Our shift was 9 hours a night, six nights a week, and we got 1 week vacation.
Yeah. And do you remember how hard it was once you got your paycheck to make it from one end of the month to the other at that time? It was difficult. It really was, because we were working 9 hours a day, 6 days a week. And
It was hard.
It was difficult. It really was. And
we were definitely living payday to payday.
You had to be creative to make it during that time. But do you remember the day that you and I were wanting to get off early? And if I remember right, it was a Sunday. And there was a prisoner down
In Alabama,
around Arab, somewhere around through there. And Sheriff Goodwin told us that if we could go pick up that prisoner that morning and get back, when we got back, we could take off, because it was a pretty good drive. Do you remember what happened?
Well, first off, somewhere, I think it was Huntsville, I think we had to stop a DUI, mm-hmm. and then we get down to the jail, and we walk in the jail down there, and there's only one person working there, or so we thought. Mm-hmm. He's running around answering the phone, had a bunch of keys in his hand, and we told him we're here to pick up this prisoner. Mm-hmm. I can't let you have him until the sheriff gets here. Well, where's the sheriff? He's at church.
Yeah.
Well, what time will be here? Well, after church, he goes, eats dinner, then he'll drop by. And then we found out that the person we were talking to was a trustee. And that was the only person there with the keys to the jail, answering the phones. But we had to sit around there 3 or 4 hours waiting for the sheriff to get there to give us that prisoner, which means we worked later than we would have if we just stayed here.
Yeah, but he did find a nice place for us to go eat. And do you remember where we put that on the tab or not? Did the county pay for that, or did we pay for it? I don't remember. I bet we ended up paying for it.
I imagine we paid for it.
Yeah. Well, there was one time, and let's talk about trustees, because Buddy and I talked about this the other day. Do you remember the time that the trustee who was in charge of the jail at the time, and usually a trustee was someone who was there on a misdemeanor, a very small charge, and serving out a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. I think this particular guy was down to his last 2 days. Somehow he was conned in to letting all the prisoners out on the second floor, which is where all the males were on the east and west side. And if you remember, there were six cells on each side and four bunks in each cell. And the cells at that time were not probably as big as the cells are for one person now. So you can imagine how crowded it was. And he decided he was going to let everybody out, and he did. Do you remember that night?
I remember that.
We were up all night long, on into the next day, trying to rein in all of the ones that got away. And we did. I mean, it took a while. But you talk about that took the whole department, because what did we have, 12, 13 people that were actually working at that time?
Right.
And it was unbelievable. And you think about it, you know, it was, you almost had to be a magician to work
there. And why that guy would do something like that with just a little bit of time left, don't know.
Now, you, for instance, when you went to work in 73, you had probably no thoughts of your future. I know I didn't. I loved doing what I was doing.
I enjoyed the job.
Yeah. But you later on, both of us were promoted as time went on, and then you decided, of course, you got your degree at MTSU, and then you went into other fields. I mean, you did work in Williamson County. You worked in Nashville, doing other things. You were at the academy, the Law Enforcement Academy, and you decided to go into law and get your degree. How was that?
Well, you know, I'd left the Sheriff's Department. My last day there was December 31st, 1977. Mm-hmm. That's when I went to work at the Tennessee Law Enforcement Training Academy. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, once I started there, I started thinking, well, I need to do something to further my education. If I got my master's, it was going to take me 3 years going at night. Mm-hmm. Or if I went to law school, to the Nashville School of Law, it was going to take me 4 years. And I thought, well, that would be, in all likelihood, benefit me better. So I worked full-time at the police academy and then went to law school at night. And I graduated from law school in 1982.
That's amazing.
And then I went to work for the DA's office in Franklin in 1983. And I worked there until Guy Dotson hired me in 1989 to come here, come back home.
It's always nice to come back home.
It sure is. And I...
Did you work some with Jeff Long over in Williamson County, didn't you?
Yes, and I just got through talking to Jeff on the phone.
I'm glad you did.
He told me to tell you hi and lift up a little prayer for him. He's has pancreatic cancer. He's going in next Tuesday for surgery. So we hope that will work out successfully. He told me he was going to try to listen to this. But
I hope he does. Jeff, you're always been...
Now.
Yes, you've always been in my thoughts. I mean, Williamson County was so blessed to have a law enforcement officer of your caliber all those years. I know you worked with Fleming back when he was sheriff, and we worked some cases together with you over here. But with the TBI and with the DA's office, he is just one of those people that it's always been a shining light for law enforcement. He's always represented us well. And I was so tickled to see him elected as sheriff over in Williamson County. They made an excellent choice there.
Absolutely.
And you and I have been lucky. I mean, we have worked with so many great people. And at the DA's office, I mean, you walked in with the cream of the crop over there.
Yeah, I tell Guy all the time, I said, thank you for hiring me, Guy. Thanks for bringing me home. And that was in 1989.
You know, we were so lucky back at the sheriff's office, because when we would take cases up, and we were not as prepared for representing the state as they are now, as you
right.
know.
We weren't trained.
We depended upon Judge Buckner, Guy Dotson, and all of his assistants, which there was only a couple of them at that time.
Moe Melton at that time.
Yeah, and then he did a lot over in Cannon County.
Right.
In fact, you were probably the Moe Melton of the DA's office while you were here, because you represented the state a lot of times over in Cannon County and Woodbury. In fact, you were pretty much the one that took care of it over there.
I did almost everything in Cannon County, except for minor things or when I was sick for the last 22 years before I retired.
You made a lot of good friends over there, didn't you?
A lot of good friends.
You know, what was the change in atmosphere when you were representing someone here in Murfreesboro as, say, in Cannon County? Because there's so much family lineage over in Cannon County. They've known each other, just about everybody, for years there.
It seems like in Cannon County, everyone knows about the parties involved in a lawsuit more than the lawyers do.
Well, is that different than here?
Yeah, here, people just don't know. Sometimes you don't know your own neighbors here.
Yeah, that's true. You're exactly right.
People move in and out and so quick, and that's one thing I've noticed about the change in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. You used to be able to go out. If you went out to eat somewhere, you'd always see someone you knew.
Yeah.
Nowadays, a lot of times you go out and don't see anybody you know.
Do you feel like that's maybe one of the reasons that you've decided to practice law in Cannon County, because of all the people that you've got to know there?
Right. I mean, I know so many people in Cannon County, and I retired last year, and I want to just practice a little bit of law, something to occupy my time, stay a little busy, but I don't want to be too busy. I've got a grandson.
Yes.
That's 26 months old.
Hunter.
Linda and I babysit him 3 days a week, and he's just the joy of our life.
Well, I was wondering, because I was talking to Linda, and I was trying to figure out why you wanted to hang your shingle out in Cannon County. And then I got to think, how far are you from the distillery over in Short Mountain?
I have no idea. I've never been there.
You have? Shame on you.
What? How often do you go there, Charlie?
I've been there 2 or 3 times, as a matter of fact. I like
Did they get free samples?
I like to go over and talk to the guys, because they are a lot of fun. They really are. I tell you what, you can learn more history inside those buildings than you can just about anywhere else. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with David Puckett.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Hi, this is Ed Asner. What really brought down the three World Trade Center skyscrapers on 9/11? See 9/11 explosive evidence experts speak out. The powerful new documentary film from architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. Visit 911expertspeakout.org today.
Visit 911expertspeakout.org. The event will be on Tuesday night at TPAC, July the 3rd at 6:30 in the evening. Tickets are $12 and are available at TPAC.org.
WeatherEye.
The heat advisory is in effect Friday afternoon through Sunday evening. Mainly sunny this afternoon, high of 102. Tonight, clear, low 68. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 102.
Get those 4th of July fireworks now and help the Riverdale baseball team. Stop by their tent at Sam's and at Walmart on Old Fort Parkway from 10 to 10. Great fireworks at great prices in the parking lot of Sam's and Walmart on Old Fort.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
I've got pets.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated, family-owned and operated for residential and commercial customers, we offer a full range of services. Our services include one-time, monthly, and quarterly pest control, termite control, moisture and fungus control, automatic foundation vents, and more. Licensed, insured, and bonded for your protection. 893-7111.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pets.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated.
It's time now for Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. An artwork by James Spearman is on display right now through July the 27th in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall. That's through July the 27th. And you're encouraged to celebrate the 4th of July with your friends here in Murfreesboro over at McKnight Park. It starts with a day of fun at the Murfreesboro Beach. That's the outdoor pool and water park at SportsCom. At 9 o'clock, a fantastic fireworks display set to music by the Murfreesboro Symphony. And if the weather forces any changes, tune to WGNS. And the 13th annual Special Kids Friend Raiser will be at the World Outreach Church at 5:30 Thursday evening, July 19th. Motivational speaker John Acuff is the guest. Call Special Kids for information, 893-4892. And the 117th annual Sons of Confederate Veterans Reunion will be in Murfreesboro this year. That's right, July the 11th through the 14th over at the Embassy Suites and Conference Center. Oh, check our website for more Good Neighbor events and local news, too. It's all free. WGNSradio.com. And those are Good Neighbor events.
Play it again, sports!
Your golf headquarters.
Get new and quality used golf clubs from Nike, TaylorMade, Callaway, pre-owned, and more. Save money on drivers, hybrids, wedges, and iron sets and accessories at Play It Again Sports on Thompson Lane.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with David Puckett. Well, we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care, Melissa Warren's business, and they come into your home 24/7 and take care of all the responsibilities of taking care of a home. They do everything inside. They run errands for you. They make it so that all you have to do is be able to use your remote control, and I imagine they would even help you with that if you had trouble. So enjoy your retirement. Give them a call, 713-4639. Check them out on the website, www.athomecaretennessee.com. Now, David, I know that you're a big MTSU fan. I had Kermit Davis on yesterday, right? And we were talking about the basketball team, and it sounded like they're really going to have a good team this coming
year.
That
was the best team MTSU's had since the early 80s.
Oh, I agree with you.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
They were fun to watch.
Yeah, I go back to Jimmy Earl and watching his teams, and oh, they were really good. But Kermit has really come to the forefront. I mean, his name is bounced all across the country now, and I was so impressed with him yesterday. I mean, he is really an all right guy. He really is, and he represents the MTSU campus as well as anybody. And I have had just about I've had most of the coaches on my show at one time or another, and I am so happy and know how lucky we are here at MTSU to have that type of talent.
And we're excited about the future.
Yes. Now, you're a member of BRAA.
Yes, sir.
And you go to all the games just about.
Just about. Can't make them to everything. We got season tickets for the men, the ladies, football, baseball.
Now, the thing about it is, I'm always running these guys that tell me that I have never been to the games that you don't even think about going to as a sport, as a rule. And one of them is volleyball, and I absolutely love volleyball, but I've never gone to a volleyball tournament.
Either.
I've got to do that. I've never been to see the golf team play. But what is really amazing to me is, and you, of course, being a student from MTSU and a longtime supporter of MTSU, the coaches here become entrenched, and they love this community. And it's something about being here in Rutherford County that's really, really special. And, of course, you and I have seen it over the years on how it's got to be in the way it is now.
It's just a special place to live, special place to raise a family and your children, even though it's bigger than it was when we grew up here. But it's still a special place.
Don't you miss the way it used to be?
I should have brought this in to show you, Truman, but, you know, when my mother passed away, we had to go through her house and sell her house, and we moved here in 1963 when I was in the eighth grade.
Wow.
I found a map of Murfreesboro at my mother's house from 1963. It's a great conversational piece because it shows where the city limits were in 1963. If you're going out Broad Street towards Smyrna, the city limits was before you got to the country club.
Wow.
If you're going out...
That's right, because we had to do everything on the other side. I remember that.
Right. And if you were going out towards Lebanon, the city limits was right there before you get to Hastings, right there where Montgomery's Market used to be.
Right.
There's a little creek that goes there, and that's when the road went from two-lane highway. It seemed like it took forever to get from there to the VA hospital. Then if you went out to South Church Street, city limits was before you get to the post office right now.
Yeah, because we had the motel out there that Elvis used to stay at. You remember
Ramada
that?
Inn.
Ramada Inn, that's right. We had the security of that place. It's hard to believe that things have changed that much because, I mean, there was very little jurisdiction area-wide for the city to take care of at that time. And that makes it even more miraculous that we were able to function as high 11. Of course, Robert Goodwin has a lot of respect and his professionalism as far as being able to handle all that. I still can't believe we did it.
Well, we just had to. It wasn't going to do any good to complain about it.
No, but...
Because there wasn't anybody else.
But the thing about it is we did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you think about all the things that we ended up having to do that actually we put our life on the line many, many times when we would go out there because we would go to calls, or shooting calls, fight calls, everything that you can think of with actually no backup and no plan intact to react from.
And a lot of times not much information about the call you're going to.
But do you remember when they would give us a call, say if it was Mr. Buster or one of the other dispatchers, how they would get you to the call?
They would have give us direction by go out here towards where the Cannonball Lodge used to be and turn left.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Buster.
Yeah. and everybody was on the same radio frequency. It was amazing.
When you say everybody, you're talking about adjoining counties.
Right.
You had to really break in to get into the dispatcher.
Yeah.
And before cell phones, before computers.
You know, we could write a book, but I wouldn't know where to make it, a comedy or a drama or what.
I wouldn't know where to start.
I think you were working the night that somebody, and I believe he was over in Columbia, he was irritated because everybody was, instead of using the mic, the radio for business purposes, they were kind of playing with each other, which back then, that wasn't unusual. I mean, it was, you did develop a lot of friends, whether it was in your county or not. But I do remember he had some business that he needed to conduct on the radio, and he was having a hard time talking to his officers. And I still remember what he said, because I was in there listening to the dispatcher at this time, and he was basically saying, you know, if everybody would quit playing on the radio, we could get some business done. Now, if you can imagine this day and time something like happened, there wouldn't be any dispatchers left. They would all be fired and sent on the road. But I still remember it wasn't just one. It was almost 10 or 15 dispatchers at the same time. Instead of them shutting up like they were supposed to, they all started going, play, play, play.
And of course, now each police agency has their own frequency.
Yes, they do. And the training has really brought it up to the level that it should have been all along.
Right.
And you could see that when you were at the police academy in Donelson.
Right.
And I know that you guys took your responsibilities very seriously there.
Well, now you know, Truman, we went to the police academy together.
We were the first ones sent by the county.
In 1976.
Yeah. And it's hard to believe. You think that that would, and you see how things are now, you think that would have been here all the time. But it wasn't.
It wasn't. We had a few people that had been to the academy. I know Randy Galloway had been before he went to the DA's office as their investigator. And Steve Lane had been to the academy.
All right.
I think Steve went to as a college student, and Randy went to when he worked at the police department. But we were the first ones that the county paid for to go. And then that qualified the Sheriff's Department to receive federal grants in 1976.
Yeah, and that was after Craig Snell had taken over.
Correct.
And I think I was chief deputy and you were captain at the time.
That's
I believe that's right. So we were the first ones to go so that we could learn more about doing our job so that we could relate it back to the officers that were actually working with us.
And we were the only ones there that had been there 2 years or more, and we had to go first so we can qualify for the federal funding. And then the federal government would pay for the other people's tuition to go to the police academy. So that was the beginning of training for Rutherford County Sheriff's Department, and it's been ongoing ever since then.
And you and I were roommates.
Correct.
And it was very strict back then. A lot of people don't realize that when you go to an academy, at least back then, it was extremely strict. You were not allowed to leave your rooms or something at certain times, and you couldn't leave the academy grounds except, I think it was on Wednesday
nights.
Yeah.
You had to be in at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And on Friday mornings, you got to go home until Sunday. And then,
well, Friday after lunch.
Friday after lunch, yeah. And then you had to be back on time or you were kicked out. I mean, it was tough. But for me, you know, I never did like sitting in a classroom. But when you're sitting there listening to things that are extremely important for your particular vocation, your job at the time, I really did like it. And of course, you and I were good friends and always have been good friends. But being able to share the same room with a buddy made a big difference.
Right.
Because I didn't like being away from home at that time.
Nobody does.
No. Was there anything in particular tough for you at going through the academy? Don't be modest now.
Probably the physical part. You were always better a runner than I was, so...
It wasn't tough. Remember, what did we run? 21 laps?
21 laps was a mile.
21 was a mile. And we ran a mile, right?
Right.
And
you had to do it in under so many minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't tough, but just trying to run around just a little bitty. I mean, you didn't have much lane to pass anybody. No. Somebody was slow in front of you, or you just had to. But it was a lot of fun. But that's the first time that I had ever gone through firearms training, and that was extremely important. And then I think we were the first class to actually do driver's training, but it didn't count on our examination, if I remember right. And we had John Bass at that time.
I don't remember whether we were the first class, but we had
driving. I think we were. If John's listening, he could call and tell us. But that was my first feeling of real strong attitude toward professionalism was right there at the academy.
It was, because that was the first formal training we'd had. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we were able to pass that on to the other guys that worked with us.
Did you remember those days while you were teaching at the academy when we went through, and how it felt for an individual? Did that make you a better instructor or a better teacher?
I think so.
Because a lot of those guys are well out of their element when they come up there.
Oh, especially if they came in from East Tennessee.
Yeah.
I remember one guy, I don't remember his name, he came in from East Tennessee. Just a good old country boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's went to work for a sheriff's department up in East Tennessee, and he came in and stayed about 2 days and said, I need to go back home and pick my tobacco. I'll be back, but I got to go. Well, this guy had his guitar with him, but he didn't have a ride back home. So I took him to the bus station in downtown Nashville. And he's from East Tennessee. He'd never been to a big city. So we'd come around to downtown Nashville, and I said, do you want me to take you by the Grand Ole Opry?
It's right on that same block.
He said, would you please? So, because he had his guitar, took him by. Thank you. And he looked up all those tall buildings. He said, I've never seen buildings this tall before. But he came back some months later. He brought his guitar, banjo. He could play anything. Couldn't read music.
I think we have a caller on the line, David, so we got to put our ears on. Caller, welcome aboard with David Puckett.
Hello, Truman.
Hey.
I want to go back just a few minutes. I've enjoyed most of your show, but the part about the distillery in Woodbury, I think he gave you an excellent answer. And when you shamed him for not being there, I thought that was not too good. Not good at all. And the position that he holds. And I just wanted to say that my grandchildren don't have a grandfather, never knew a grandfather. My mother was choked by an alcoholic husband. My daddy was killed when he was 11 years old. And she had to jump off of a high front porch. He was going after her to kill her. And the people who sell this stuff, you know, to me, they're just as guilty as the people that drink it, because it changes a good man into a very violent person. And I'm not going to take up the rest of your show. I just want to say that I'm very much against alcohol, because it has robbed me. It has scarred my life. And I think that's the thing that you all were working to try to stop.
It was.
To get people to not do that type of thing. And I do enjoy your show. I listen to you quite often, and I think you're a very brilliant, intelligent man. And I've never met you. I'm not from Murfreesboro, But anyway, I appreciate all the good things that you did, you've done. And I just thank you for letting me speak my piece. May God bless you.
And thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We've just got a few minutes left with David Puckin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Jordan, an orthopedic surgeon with Middle Tennessee Medical Center. As the official healthcare providers of the MTSU Blue Raiders, we know the importance of getting players healthy and back in the game. Middle Tennessee Medical Center provides comprehensive orthopedic care with expertise to return each patient to an active and functional lifestyle. Our team is highly experienced in orthopedic and joint replacement surgery, which means better outcomes and quicker recoveries. To make an appointment with an MTMC orthopedic specialist, call 615-284-BONE.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Okay, Jose, Tex-Mex cuisine.
Hola, amigos. This is Sergio from Okay, Jose. I'm the manager. Come join us. Come try us out. We would like to earn your business. We make everything fresh from scratch. And go and join us for a good quality meal.
Mention that you heard this ad on the radio and receive a free T-shirt at Okay, Jose. Again, mention this ad and receive a free T-shirt at Okay, Jose today only. Okay, Jose Tex-Mex cuisine. In the Walmart Shopping Center on Rutherford Boulevard. Where are you going for lunch?
Okay, Jose.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's The Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with David Puckett. David, you have put out, you've got your office in Woodbury now.
That's correct.
Now, where is it located? Is it on the square?
It's on the square, just down from Paul Reed Furniture Store.
Okay. I was on my way a couple of weeks ago to look at your office, and this was on a Saturday. And when I was, just before I got into town, there was something going on in Woodbury. I don't know what it was. But everybody, believe it or not, on John Bragg Highway was turned back to go back west. Do you have any idea what happened that day? They had fire engines out there, but they wouldn't let any of us go by.
I have no idea.
But are you open every day there, or how do you do
I'm
it?
I'm open Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays. So people have to get an appointment to see you? How do you work it?
My phone number is, they can call me, set up an appointment, or they can come by Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Are you listed in the book, or have you been
no,
in long enough?
I haven't been in long enough.
What is your phone number? And I'll write it down. No, I won't. I don't have a pencil with me.
410-8913.
Okay. Now, do you have a full staff, or is it just you now?
Just me.
Okay. Now, the thing about it is you had so many great contacts there, because when you were representing the DA's office in Cannon County, you made a lot of friends. And I never will forget when they gave you your retirement party, and it was in Cannon County.
Absolutely.
And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Dr. Rulon's party that they gave him for all the years of service in the medical community for Dr. Rulon. I mean, that place was absolutely packed. You couldn't get a place to park anywhere near downtown area. Yours was the same way, and I never will forget you and I, because I had the radio show going on, and I had to get back. After maybe you'd been there for 15 or 20 minutes, and I really wanted to stay for the whole thing because I wanted to hear what they had to say about you, see if they thought about you the same way I did, but they really liked you better. But anyway, there was a restaurant there on the right going in that you and I stopped at, and we sat down to eat, and a lady came in. She was looking for you, and she had a gift. And she sat there for 10 or 15 minutes and told how you changed her life and how many good things that you had done for her family. And that's pretty neat, isn't it?
Well, it was special in that she came to find me.
Yeah, it was.
And it's a special gift, and I always remember that.
Now, knowing you, you're going to take that part of your life with you when you open up your office, and you've already have.
Right.
Are you still going to have that same frame of mind, the service you're there for, the people you want to make their lives better, and the whole thing? You know, that's one thing that is ingrained in my mind, and I know it is yours too, that while you're out there, we were having fun at our jobs.
But helping people.
That was the big thing. I mean, you were there put in extraordinary circumstances a lot of times to help people who were, their situation had gotten totally out of control.
What I've learned through the years is sometimes you just need to listen to people. They want someone to hear their side of the story. And that's what I think I did most of my time in Cannon County. Just listen and then make a decision. Because there's always two sides to the story.
Right. And we have been fooled a number of times.
We have.
But you've got to keep your mind open on what's going on.
You can't penalize the next person because someone fooled you.
Unfortunately, there was having no training at the time, I can remember probably the worst calls that we went on were when a family was in turmoil with itself, a husband and wife or whatever. And I can remember some of those things that were almost hard to decide on what we were going to be able to do.
Right
now, the law instructs you what to do, but right. I'm not too sure sometimes it wasn't better back then.
Well, back then, the officers had more discretion. Now, they're required to make an arrest if they're able to determine the primary aggressor.
And that's, to me, that's a hard thing for me to deal with, because having officer discretion on just about every call you went to, except for a felony, was part of being able to work directly with the people and work out their problems while you were there, rather than having to go through the court system and then who knows how it's going to play out there.
Sometimes you're more effective back then talking to them. Sometimes if it's a juvenile, take them home, let the parents deal with them.
Mm-hmm. You remember a lot of times we did not separate the couples like they do now. And it would get kind of hairy from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we could defuse the situation also by doing that.
Which is what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, it was. David, it's been a pleasure having you on today.
It's good to see
you. I am going to get with you, and I'm going to go up to Cannon County one day. And hopefully we'll find a place to sit down and eat and enjoy ourselves and just... I know Cannon County right now is like it was in Rutherford County when you first started working here. It's small town communities, and it's something that I really do. I relish that time.
A slower pace.
Yes, and you love that. Mm-hmm. I guess you're going. Well, you're gonna have to leave here pretty soon because you got to go to your golf match.
I got tea time.
All right. Well, David's got tea time, so we'll see you guys tomorrow. And we're going to have Mr. John Blankenship on, one of our illustrious attorneys here, and also one of our great entertainers. And we're going to have Avent Lane on with him, who used to work with David and myself at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department many, many years ago. And he is the best cello player you've ever heard. So we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Thank you, Charlie.